from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Talking here live from Ditka's on the heart of Chicago, the city of the big shoulders and home, of course, to a certain football team which has carved out a special place in the pantheon of professional football great. That team which is known the world over as the Bears.
The Bears.
Third and one from the Bills 9. Williams under center, hands it off, trying to cut it back is Khalil Herbert, but he's knocked down and tripped up by Rasul Douglas.
The Bears are 7-point underdogs, but don't count them out.
Looks over the middle, and it's intercepted by Micah Baskerville, and this might go the distance unless Bouchel can trip him up. He cannot, and it is an interception return for a touchdown.
At game's end, there will be two teams of contrasting moods heading off the field, my friends. One glum, one gleeful. The gleeful of which being the Bears.
The Bears.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Congratulate a Bears fan on the existence of Caleb Williams, who looked really good. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Taking your thoughts on Bears and Bills from Highmark Stadium.
How do you feel about him in number 18, by the way?
Fine.
Fine?
Yeah. Peyton Manning's number, right? Is it who else?
It's weird seeing someone in that number be able to like scramble around, though. Because it's not a very common quarterback number.
Looks like a slow number.
Right. You only think of Peyton Manning, who was a very, very slow quarterback.
Yeah.
I guess it looked okay. If he was wearing like number 3, though, it might have looked a little bit better, a little cleaner, faster.
He looked great, considering preseason, blah, blah, blah.
Also, nope. Congratulations to Matt Kuchar, who just teed off for... He did not tee off.
No, he...
What would you call it?
Played from the fairway on 18.
Yeah.
He's playing his final three shots, his own final three shots.
By himself.
Yeah. All right, so the Bills got hammered by the Bears, kind of. They did. Listen, I watched the game a second time, the second half, for a first time, because I watched the first half, and then was kind of in and out of the second half, knowing I'd go back and watch it. And it was a fun experience knowing they're losing. They're going to lose this game 33-6. How do they do it?
Mm-hmm.
It's still 13-3 for the longest time. And sure enough, a pick six. Then they go for a fourth down in their own territory. They don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever. It's the Bears. And the Bills haven't had a lot of performances like this in the preseason, which might be one of the reasons why it's kind of new to hear Sean McDermott sound really upset about it. And Josh Allen and Taron Johnson, you know, two of the team leaders, say, yeah, I mean, listen, we don't game plan. We're not out there. We don't show too much. So we keep it all in perspective about the preseason pledge. For me, the thing about the preseason that has value here, I was having a good time during the game, watching the game, checking Twitter, seeing what people are saying about it, and one of the things immediately comes up, like, our third down defense is terrible. Or, you know, some of the old habits you fall into about, like, oh, I can't stand so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
During training camp, everybody's fine. Everybody's great. Nobody's mad at anybody. Mm-hmm. Then you see one game, preseason or not, and it's, I think McDermott called a soft game plan. Or I think McDermott's third down defense is in midseason form because they gave up a third and 10. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff comes back. And for me, that's a reminder that all that really matters here are the games. We've had a lot of fun telling the story of this receiver room. And heading to the weekend, we got that Allen said that he likes his group. You know, Sean McDermott says, I love to see the unselfishness in that room, something he has said almost every year.
Yep.
I saw you found quotes from almost every year.
Yep. Search McDermott and unselfish on Twitter, and you're going to find him talking about every receiver they've ever had.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Specifically said it about Diggs at one point.
Yes, he did.
Sure. So, you know, the offseason and the preseason storylines about how everything is going to go great, because this is not just specific to the Bills. Every team thinks this. Right now the Bears think everything's going to go great. And then the season will come, and we'll see what happens. The preseason is a reminder that games are all that matter to a lot of us. Sure, we love a lot of other things. You grow to love these players and value these players and their spot in the community and all that. But really, game day is what will matter. And a preseason game doesn't count, but it's kind of practice for game day. All right, let's see how the boys look. Let's see how the guys look. And it was not their best outing, and their head coach ended up mad about it. So if you have anything you took away, you can give us a call at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I'll tell you this about, if there was one player you might have been going to watch, it might have been Keon Coleman. Maybe you're in the stands and you thought, I'm going to watch number zero on every play and see what he does.
Yep.
Because he's arguably the most important rookie they have. He might be the most important rookie they've had in a long time. I mean, when Kincaid came here, we thought he'll be a part of the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't so much that they needed him to be great right away in order for them to succeed. And I feel like with Coleman, there's a little bit more of an emphasis on, I hope this guy can play right away and be a difference maker. So if you watched Coleman, what did you get? You got a lot of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
You got a couple of targets. One from Allen. He completed a pass to Coleman. Soft zone on the outside. All right. First down.
Yep.
Good start, right? Then you get to play in the end zone where there's a lot of contact. And could there have been a flag thrown?
There were two plays in the end zone, actually, where he had contact. There was the one you're thinking of was much more, you know, guy was over the back. There was one before where he was getting held a little bit before, and he was mad that there wasn't a flag.
Yeah.
He wasn't, like, that open anyway, but he would have had a shot at it. The one after was more, I don't know, would you even call it egregious? Or was the ball arriving and the guy went over the top of him?
I'm thinking about the one with the guy going over the top of him.
Yeah.
To me, that one, there's contact, right? Okay. If you call pass interference there, is that a ticky-tack call?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
Because the ball is arriving like as he goes up for it. I noticed there were a couple plays where I did that. Like I was in the stadium, like, okay, he's out there. Let me just watch Coleman. And, you know, like this is where the concern of him being that big X receiver comes in, is when he's pressed, it looks like he's uncomfortable. It looks like, I would ask the question, does he have a plan yet when he's lined up like that? Does he have a plan for how to get right around that guy? Does he know how to do it? And that's how they've talked about wanting to use him. And, you know, it was nine snaps. And of the nine snaps, was he pressed on four of them or five of them? Like, it wasn't all of them. The catch he had, he wasn't. But that's my big question mark about him right now, and there was nothing that I saw in that game in the limited action that made me think, oh yeah, no, all the concerns about can he get open, can he separate, can he get off a man at the line of scrimmage, like I still have every question that I did before Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably really unlikely you get answers to that in a preseason game, especially when they don't game plan. One of the things about Coleman, and you know, this is true of every receiver of every team, how do you use him, how do you deploy him? Are they scripting plays? Are they designing plays to get him open? The two catches he's made consistently at camp, he didn't make either one of these in the game, and I didn't even see a target to him in this nature in this game, One was, sorry, the two catches at camp. There's the kind of corner back end zone leaping fade.
Yep.
He catches that every day at training camp. And then there's the, I heard someone refer to this kind of route as a runway route. And it's kind of a Gabe Davis route, or it's kind of a, you know, Coleman has a similar speed trait. He's not fast or quick, but he can get to a good top speed. And this is the gauntlet drill. How did he run the gauntlet drill faster than anybody? He got runway. He's a big plane.
He's
huge. He's going to need a lot of runway. He's not, you know, taking three steps and going to be open as quickly or shake a guy free as quickly. It's probably just not the skill set. So we don't see him running that route in this game at all. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. What did you see? You saw a quick little end zone, whether that's an in or a slant. I don't know how often he's going to run that play when he's out there. My guess is in an actual game, he might be more likely to run to the sideline than he is to the middle of the field.
I mean, the guy that, I mean, again, 9 snaps for Allen in the starters, and then there were a few more after that. The guy that looked the most dangerous was easily Shakir, right? Mm-hmm. Shakir made one catch on the out on a third down on the left. He made the other one on the fourth down that Trubisky hit him on where he cut it to the outside, was faster than the guy covering him, and got up the sideline and turned. I mean, that's a Cole Beasley play 4 years ago that, okay, fourth and three, and you got to have a guy that gets that play for you. Cole Beasley makes that play exactly how Khalil Shakir did, but Cole Beasley gets that play for 7 yards. Shakir turns that upfield on the sideline and makes it a 20-yard play. So he looked really good. He made one catch on the outside also.
Yep.
Shakir did on a same route maybe that Coleman did, just kind of like a run and stop. So I liked how Shakir and even Samuel looked in their limited action. Coleman, though, you just don't – it's a different – there are, it's a speed thing, right? I watch Andy Isabella and go, man, how is that guy not better? Look how fast he is. How fast he is.
It really is. He caught the one pass, and it looked like the TV went on fast forward.
Yeah, right. So it's weird to me. It's crazy that guy hasn't carved out a real career before. Given he was like a 4.23 guy, 4.25 guy at the combine way back when, which is why I got drafted in the second round probably. You know, Coleman's different. He's different. You'll watch him. If you hyper-focus on him on a play, he's not going to be like those other guys where, man, even he didn't do anything that play, but you see how he moves? Like, Coleman, you don't really see that until, like you said, like if he gets the ball 5 seconds into a play, you'll see that. But every play that you just watch him out there at the stadium, like there's not going to be a lot of wowing play to play. It's going to be in those specific moments where jump ball or he caught the ball in space and... you know, you're not always going to get that. So you might just be patient with his highlights or patient with what impresses you about him.
The thing that will impress, I think, most when given the opportunity is he has incredible his hands. I mean, it's not like for a receiver, you should have great hands, right? Like, well, there's definitely a hierarchy of how good the hands are on this team. Kincaid at the top, Shakir at the top, Coleman at the top.
Samuel's been pretty good.
Samuel's pretty good with that.
Yep.
He had a couple drops in the blue and red, but he hasn't had trouble at camp. And then there's MBS, who's at the absolute bottom, not just on the Bills, but in the league. Like, it's tough.
And James Cook.
Right.
Who's had drop problems.
Zach in West Seneca is up. Hey, Zach, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. My overall point was that, it's just like any other game, good, bad, different. I mean, I just think of, like, I just take nothing from this. I mean, I think of, like, Nathan Peterman and those great preseason games, and it's just like thinking, okay, maybe we – I never thought he'd be great, but I thought, okay, maybe.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We got a serviceable guy here, and then he was just quite possibly the worst regular season quarterback of all time. I mean, I don't know that it gets worse than that. But, Mike, you know, you, just waiting on the line, you got me thinking about some of their weapons. And I think the height of Allen was 2020, the COVID year, and I think that was the height of Diggs, the height of Beasley. I think that was, like, the best year. If I just look back to that year, I think Allen's a push, the offensive line's a push. I'd say Cook versus Singletary's a push. But I do think they're better at tight end than they were there. I think this year's version of Shakir could actually be the same, marginally less, but maybe better than Beasley. I just, where they really miss, and they could replace the Gabe Davis with the guys they got, where they really miss, they still miss a bona fide stud. And I want to preface that with, Diggs has not really been the same guy since that year. He was great that year. He was pretty good in 21 and 22. And right up until the Miami game last year was when he, you know, that was his last really great game. They were showing highlights of that at halftime on Saturday on TV. And I was like, it reminded me, I'm like, holy cow, he fell off. We did not have that guy down the stretch. But it just makes me wonder, like, you know, this is just, we haven't seen Allen really with this kind of hodgepodge of guys since, like, his rookie year. Or I mean, that's really it, like, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
It's a good tight end. I think the running back could be great, but you guys just referenced the drops. That scares the heck out of me because the guy's in position to make plays. Look at that Kansas City game where he catches one, you know, just running up the seam there. Like, there's potential, but it scares the heck out of me, all the drops. But, I, you know, Shakir catching those passes and turning up the corner, and that's cool. I don't know what to expect from Coleman. Is 50 catches? Could he get more than that because of they just have nobody? One thing I caught myself thinking about over the weekend was, like, Anthony Gonzalez gets drafted by the Colts. I know this is, like, totally random, but, like, gets drafted by the Colts, right? And, like, he comes in, they got a big hole at slot receiver, and, like, the dude just catches, like, a ton of passes and then never does anything outside of his rookie contract, you know, simply because he's got Manning and they throw the ball all over. Like, is it kind of like that because Allen's great now? I don't know. It's just, you know, it's interesting. One thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see a whole lot of Mac Hollins. I just, my biggest fear is he's like, what was that Packers receiver that was here that was just
Kumaro?
Kumaro? Yeah, I just so bored. Every time he was on the field, I'm like, okay, you know, nothing. He had one big play against the Titans on Monday night, and that was, you know, that and the Denver catch 3 years earlier, and it was just like, all right, you know. I don't want guys on the field just to be on the field. Like, I want guys that can actually catch the ball. Yeah. All right, guys, thank you.
Thanks, Zach. You said a lot. Where should we jump in on? I mean, Mac Hollins, when they signed him, we talked to Charles McDonald, Yahoo Sports podcast, Football 301. He is a Falcons fan, and Mac Hollins had a season in Atlanta that was pretty good. He played a role there for them, didn't play a huge role. He had 18 catches.
Right.
In Vegas, he had 57 catches.
Right.
What does Mac Hollins' number end up being here if he stays healthy? My guess is it's like 40 to 50 catches. That's if he's healthy.
Man.
Who's above him on the depth chart? It's him and Coleman on the outside, and that's it. Claypool's not on the team.
50 catches.
50 catches.
What's he getting? What's he getting? 70, 80 targets?
If you're on the outside as a receiver on this team, I don't know how you don't.
He's splitting the role, though, remember.
He's probably splitting that role. He's splitting the role, but Coleman is probably splitting his snaps. Isn't Coleman snapping on the inside in the slot? Big slot? There are going to be games where Hollins is on the outside and Coleman is on the inside in the slot. And, like, again, this is a lot about how they might want to play versus how they do play. If their defense goes through growing pains, all right, let's take a look at what the Bills' game plan might be. 12 personnel, run the ball effectively, play action pass. That's all well and good. That's a great way to play when you're playing from in front. Great way to play.
Mm-hmm.
If your defense isn't quite what it's been in years past, which I don't know how big of a fear that should really be, but let's just say they go to a middle-tier defense, down to 15th. Respectable, but not where they normally live, which is top 5, top 10. They might be playing from behind a little bit more. And all of a sudden, you're run it effectively, play action. Now I need to lean more into more of a passing game. And if I do that, I've got Hollins on the field and Coleman on the field and scenarios where they push the ball and push the tempo. You're right. 50 might be a big number for Hollins. But
50 is more than Gabe Davis ever had.
Catches?
Just keep that in mind. Yeah. Like, do we think Hollins is going to have more catches than Gabe Davis ever had as a Bill?
Boy.
That's tough, right? Davis played every snap.
He never had more than 50 catches.
48 was his career high.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Isn't it?
This is further proof to drive home the point that the issue the Bills have had at receiver the last two seasons has not been their number one. It's been that they didn't have anybody between 1 and 4.
Yeah.
Like, you're number two.
And Pete 48
was 48 catches.
48 was his top end in 4 years.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They didn't force the ball to Diggs. They just avoided everybody else. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
They just avoided everybody else.
That's where my expectations of Coleman are very tempered right now because, like you say,
Gabe also got 48 catches on 93 targets.
Yeah.
Another.
Yeah.
What?
51% catch percentage. Yeah. The other part of Coleman, like, man, you say like he'll play some in the slot. I hope so. I think because that's where a lot of the people that I listen to think he'll be better off at. I don't know that the Bills are going to do that though because they're busy there. They're busy on the inside.
They have Kincaid and they have Shakir. Yes,
they have Samuel.
They're busy.
They have three guys that all look like pretty good ideas to already play there. So how much run will Coleman get at that spot? And if he doesn't, think about where we're at if he doesn't. If they think, well, we've already got three guys, and even Knox if you want. Like, we've got guys to play the slot. Like, we're not going to force Coleman in there. Like, we want him to be the X. We want him to play on the outside. And if he is splitting that role with Mac Hollins all year, listen to those Gabe Davis stats. I mean, what are we talking about then for Coleman? Because I've got a Gabe Davis role that never peaked at 50 catches that might be being split between two people. I recognize there's a Diggs vacancy here of 150 targets, which a lot of those came from the outside too, right? So they're not just splitting Gabe's role. They're splitting, you know, maybe a little bit of the Diggs target share also. But just keep that in mind. Like, if he's not going to beat Mac Hollins outright to be a full-time starter on the outside, like, I'm not expecting 50-plus catches from either of those guys.
Right. Then there's how teams defend you, because I as we lay this out, the Bills will definitely move Coleman around. He'll have to play in the slot some.
Yeah.
Mainly because, it's my belief, he's a rookie. He's got things to learn. There's room to grow. He did not beat man coverage consistently in college. If you line him up on the boundary in the NFL, then teams are going to probably man him up one-on-one and feel like they can do that for a little bit of time until he proves he can beat that.
Yeah. Year one, they might feel like we can do that to him all the time.
Yes.
And he's not going to get it.
Like, are they going to have to roll coverage? A couple highlight reel catches, a couple of jump balls, a couple of mosses. Like, that might change things. But if he's going to go on the outside, I think the teams will man him up as much as they can if they play man coverage. You're going to want to get him involved. He's a young player you got to bring along in a lot of ways. And the Bills will, of course, want to get him involved. This is sometimes referred to by some as forcing the ball to, but it's just throwing it to a good player. He's going to be a big part of your offense. I think they'll throw it to him. I think they'll move him around. and Brady talks about this too. The Bills receivers are all responsible for knowing all of the roles, yeah, all of the spots, because they're going to be shuffled so often. They like, I don't know if it's going to work, but they like to talk about positionless football. We have concepts. Mm-hmm. So Coleman's going to have to know the concept that the on the outside. He's going to have to know the concept of the slot. I think they'll move him around plenty. If they don't, that could be a problem. 803-0550. Most of this isn't taken like from the game on Saturday. It's just deployment and how they might use him. Sal, when we get back, we'll talk to him about the game against the Bears, McDermott's frustration, whether or not that could lead to starters playing a little bit more in Pittsburgh. Also, they have joint practices on the way, which I think are a mistake.
Fight night.
Don't do it, Bills.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners and Saints had joint practices. They canceled.
They canceled. You see why? See why they canceled?
I figured it was because of fights.
The 49ers said they didn't have enough players.
Oh, okay. How about the Rams and Cowboys have a joint practice after the preseason game?
Wait.
They played a preseason game?
Oh,
and they're now they're going to have a joint practice.
They're going to play it after?
Yeah.
Huh. Carryover from the game is going to cause even more fights, isn't it?
Who knows? Bills and Steelers joint practices.
Who's going to get in a fight with the Steelers?
Where you're allowed to punch players, drag them to the ground, swing helmets. It is a lawless land, joint practices. Okay.
The Bills have Kareem Jackson on the team, which is danger for fights. That guy threw a hit at the back of the head of a Bears running back on Saturday. I didn't see anybody point it out, but I saw it live and went, there. That dude, he's out here in a preseason trying to headhunt the rookie running back on the Bears. We'll see. Maybe he'll start something.
Sal, when we get back.
Never miss a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.